you in the 06010. Hello and welcome to Fantasy Focus Football. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you could save. It is Field, Daniel, and Liz Loza holding it down here for you, recapping everything that you need to know from the week to action. Field Yates, yes, go ahead.
I have something that I would need to know. I need to personally know this.
What do you need to know, Field?
Is Kyle Pitts good at football?
You know what? That's a great question. Liz, you want to handle that? Is Kyle Pitts good at football?
I mean, I'm just going to say I might have been right about Kyle Pitts thus far into the season.
Okay, wow. Hold on now.
Wow. Okay. That was
Victor Lapp, well done by Liz. And Liz has a lot of correct takes. A lot of correct takes from Liz Loza. No surprise there. I'm going to get into Kyle Pitts in just a few more minutes.
Yeah, we have a jam-packed show today. We're going to run through as many of the games as possible, and that's going to be all the games. We're going to get to every one of them, but we're going to start out with our new segment called Crushed It or Flushed It. And Liz, we're going to lead it off with you. Who crushed it for you this week in week two?
I got to give some big love to a rookie. It's not Drake London, who did have himself a day. It's Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
8 catches out of 14 targets, a team high for the Jets. Over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns in Cleveland, just hours away from where he dominated as a Buckeye. Super, super sweet. I mean, this kid, the acrobatics, the body control, all of it coming together, the ability to gain separation, and clearly all of that has been seen in him because Mike LaFleur is making a concerted effort to get him more involved. You love to see it. Through 2 career games, he has 154 receiving yards and those 2 touchdowns. Jamar Chase, first 2 games, 155 yards and 2 touchdowns. So on his way. Also, interesting quote from Jets cornerback DJ Reed. He said that Garrett Wilson has, quote, that Justin Jefferson vibe. So let's to borrow a phrase from Field this morning, manifest that here for Mr. Wilson.
Manifesting its rights now. Great call by you, Liz. God, he is smooth as all get out. Too fun to watch. Looks the part beyond the production in the box score.
14 targets. Excited to see what he does here moving forward. All right, Liz, who else you got that crushed it for you this week?
I mean, I love what Rashad Bateman did. Mm. Only 4 catches, but we like to see the 7 targets, 108 yards, and a touchdown. But here's the part that made it the most crushing to Dolphins fans. In the coverage of one Xavien Howard, pretty good cornerback there that he managed to escape that, what, 70-some yard run, touchdown run.
Heck yeah. I think that was 75 yards, and we were watching that play field. It was just, this is one of the things that Rashad Bateman does, right?
He gave him that opportunity.
Yes.
In college, one of the knocks on Rashad Bateman coming out beyond some injuries during the pre-draft process was that he wasn't as fast as some of the other guys. He looked like Usain Bolt.
Yes.
Usain Baltimore wide receivers.
Hey, now.
I should leave that joke to Mike, shouldn't I?
That was a dad joke right there.
I'm leaving it to Mike.
Yeah, that was apparent.
All right.
One more, Liz. You talked about Rashad Bateman, but on the other side of that game, there's like 600 guys you could potentially talk about. Do you have one of the Dolphins that crushed it for you this week?
How about the signal caller under centers? One, Tua Tagovailoa had himself a day and a historic one at that. Tua was the first Dolphins player to clear 400 passing yards and 5 touchdowns since, wait for it, Dan Marino. I guess when you have both Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill on the field, you can learn how to throw a deep ball. Am I right here? It is worth noting, though, that Waddle and Hill made up 4 of Tua's total 6 passing scores on the day.
Heck yeah. Mike Gesicki got involved. I mean, Tua was all over the place. Absolutely unreal. We're going to talk about him a little bit later on in the show as well. Field, I don't want to say that this is the less exciting part of the show, but Liz took all the exciting guys that crushed it this week. Why don't you talk about some guys that were disappointing? That
you know me, constantly negative here in the hallways of ESPN. So let's go ahead and give you some players that flushed it, as in like they may have flushed your lineup down the drain. If you had the audacity to start the greatest player of all time, Tom Brady, you were not rewarded. And we kind of called this one, right? I mean, this was the thing I kept saying all week. I'm not playing Tom Brady if I can. Yep. I had the decision to bench Tom Brady. I did. And I was validated because on Sunday against the Saints, he had 190 total passing yards. He completed just over 50% of his passes. He ran for -2 yards because he's Tom Brady.
Yep.
And he had 1 touchdown, 9.4 fantasy points. Better days are ahead. I'm not totally concerned about Brady. 2 really tough matchups coming out of the gates for the Bucs. Yes, they have a ton of wide receiver injuries as well. Better days are ahead for Tom Brady. I can promise you that this was a legit tough slate in the first 2 weeks of the season. Jonathan Taylor, Dude.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. I know it's not. But what is going on with the Colts right now? They are all 1-1, and they have played the Jaguars and the Texans. 54 rushing yards on 9 attempts, 1 catch for 9 yards. He had 7.3 fantasy points. He's the best player in fantasy football. He was the number one overall draft pick. Again, it's really not about you, Jonathan Taylor. I don't know what's going on with Indianapolis, but if by the time we get to week 3, they made some sort of changes, I don't know what kind of changes, but some sort of changes, I won't be surprised because that was gross from Indianapolis. One more here, two more here, actually. Chase Edmonds, who had just 5 rushes for 33 yards and 1 catch for 8 yards. A changing of the guards, if you will, as Raheem Mostert actually played more snaps than Chase Edmonds. Weird utilization for Edmonds in a game in which the Dolphins were down huge. This was the ideal setup, right? What does he do extremely well? Catch the ball. He had 1 catch on Sunday. Makes me a little bit nervous. Things that make you go, poor Chase Edmonds. And last one here. Again, we decided at the top of the show. Kyle Pitts is good at football.
Yes,
really good
at
football. Yeah. Really good. Really good. Right? He had 2 catches on Sunday.
Not great.
Kyle Pitts. And then after the game, I'm going to read this quote. Arthur Smith was asked about the lack of targets. Quote, it's not fantasy football. We're just trying to win. Well, that one felt like a direct shot at me.
Wouldn't giving Kyle Pitts targets help them win the game?
I don't get it.
Yeah.
He's literally a unicorn, Liz. And they're giving him fewer targets than more targets. Like, isn't the opposite of that the case? Like, shouldn't the answer be like, hey, we're actually peppering Kyle Pitts with 22 targets a game because we're really bad otherwise, other than Drake London? Am I missing something here?
Well, I do think that the defenses, I mean, like, the Saints defense that he saw last week, I think only allowed 2 or 3 touchdowns to the tight end position in all of 2021. So we know that that's the situation. And we also know that Sean McVay had a couple extra days to prepare, and he probably wants to eliminate as many unicorn. He's the unicorn killer.
That's really fair. You know? That's fair. That's not wrong. All right. That's Crush It and Flush It here for week 1. We're going to dive into our week 2 recaps. We're going to start with that same game that we just started talking about.
You just called it week 1 and then week 2.
Did I say week 1?
Week 2
Sorry.
In both cases.
Week 2 recaps from that standpoint.
Why not?
We got Dolphins and Ravens. Liz, I know you already started off with this. Over-under in this game, by the way, 44.5. They basically almost crushed that from one side, the Dolphins themselves. You mentioned Tua Tagovailoa, 469 yards, 6 touchdowns, 38.9 fantasy points. Liz Loza, he looked unbelievable. But is this performance, with everything that he has in his skill positions, going to change the way that you rank Tua heading into week 3 so that he becomes a potential streamer or bye week fill? We're not on bye weeks yet. He would just be a streamer here for you in week 3.
Well, he entered this week as a top 15 play. And I think, you know, we're going to talk about some of the erratic play from other elite quarterbacks and another quarterback injury. But when you have Hill and Waddle and you have Mike McDaniel, like, figuring things out, Mike McDaniel, by the way, living in the positive upside down of Nathaniel Hackett, who we'll talk about a little bit more, you know, first time head coach. Mike McDaniel doesn't need any of the excuses. But I think, you know, if you look at Tua's upcoming schedule, he gets the Bills next week. That's a tough matchup. Short turnaround to the Bengals. That, in theory, is a tough matchup. Then he's got the Jets. Then it's Vikings. At least 3 of those 4, even if they're not, you know, easy games, project to be high scoring. And the Ravens are no pushover squad. Like, Tyreek Hill had Marcus Peters, and those two have familiarity with one another, obviously.
Yeah.
So I feel like Tua is going to have a floor of QB15 every single week and a ceiling of, like, a top 5 play in fantasy every week.
I'm a little less optimistic, and I'm so happy for Tua on a day in which he proved so many people wrong, had a career day, one of the finest performances we've seen from a quarterback in a long time. You know, we saw it though in week 1, right? Like, in a more difficult matchup, he was average, right? Yeah. Like, he had 1 touchdown pass that went to Jalen Waddle at the end of the first half. We've seen this far. You know, he's never had 30 fantasy points in a game before. So here's what I would describe it. Is that he's like moving up the pecking order right now, right? Because there were a lot of quarterbacks that we came into the season feeling really good about. That number is shrinking both because of injuries, like in the case of Trey Lance we'll discuss, and also just some guys that are struggling out of the gates. I think Tua's knocking on that doorstep, but for me, more of like a high-end quarterback 2 as opposed to a low-end quarterback 1.
Yes, and to borrow the phrase from either you or Mike, to Liz's point, the idea that he's taking on the Buffalo Bills here in week 3 gives me a little bit of pause coming out of this awesome game that he had. A little bit different for the Ravens here. Now listen, we got the pass catchers field, and it's tough to be able to say a whole lot. Tyreek Hill is unbelievable. Jalen Waddle is unbelievable. They're both starters, but they did something historic here in this game. I just want to give you the floor to be able to talk about how good these guys were, because you're starting them every week.
You're starting them every week. And here, so the encouraging thing was we knew Tyreek Hill was a must-start every week. We had to, I mean, you've been starting him no matter what. Jalen Waddle, we mentioned this on Friday, like his volume was a little down in week one, kind of quote-unquote saved by that touchdown at the end of the first half. Not saved by just one play. As he had 19 targets in week two. They became the first set of teammates ever to have 10 catches, 150 yards, and two touchdowns each in the same game. I need to give a shout out to my guy, Greg Harvey, in between numbers on Twitter. Let me see if I can find the exact Twitter handle. Oh, man, I'm going to screw this up.
That's
Greg
Harvey
is between the nums on Twitter. Great stat right there, and a prolific day for these two. Once again, just so awesome to mention, to see.
Yeah. Anything with the running backs, really quickly?
Yeah, I said it earlier, but just looks like a little bit of a changing of the guard. I'm not totally sold that Raheem Mostert's the full-time starter now, but he saw a much bigger role. Stands to reason that after a quiet week one, that Mike McDaniel is sitting there saying, I love this guy. I brought him over from San Francisco with me. These are the concerns you had about Chase Edmonds coming into this season, right? Yep. Is that never been a high volume runner. And if he's not getting passing game work, he's unplayable.
Yeah. Let's look really quickly at the Ravens. And, you know, Liz, already you mentioned it with Rashad Bateman. Looked fantastic here in week two. And there's not a whole lot else to be able to say other than Lamar was awesome. You started him.
A beautiful day.
Yep.
Beautiful day from Lamar Jackson. Again, should have been in the conversation for quarterback one going into the season. Mark Andrews looked like the best tight end in the NFL on
11
Sunday.
Targets, 9 catches, 104 yards, and a touchdown was fantastic.
25.7 fantasy points. Thank you, Mark Andrews. Thank you, Mark.
All right, before the game, Michael Pittman-Field was ruled out here for the Colts.
This was
tough because it was Alec Pierce, without Michael Pittman, you already talked about how Jonathan Taylor struggled. What else? What other takeaways do you have from the Colts from a fantasy perspective?
That the Colts are in a heap of trouble. And that if Michael Pittman's going to miss another game, and we'll see, they play the Chiefs next week. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
0-2, Colts facing the Chiefs. 0-1.
0-1.
That if, and you're absolutely thrust into having to start a Colts wide receiver, Ashton Doolin is the answer. But it's ugly right now. Hug a Colts fan if you know one.
Yeah, if you know one, absolutely. Liz, on the other side of the ball, the Jacksonville Jaguars, Christian Kirk, just continued to show why he is the guy that is moving up the... In my rankings, I don't know how high I'm going to be able to go with Christian Kirk. Yeah. And I think that's really the question here. Another huge game. And looking at this, I think that was the big takeaway from me. Christian Kirk was fantastic. A ton of targets. What did you like about this game here?
Well, I wanted to comment on the Ashton Doolin piece because I, out of desperation, did have to start Ashton Doolin today in a couple of my deeper leagues. For what it's worth, he's rostered in under 2% of ESPN fantasy leagues. I'm sure you guys and Moody will talk about him on Tuesday's show, but he was also the player that Jonathan Taylor talked up on our marathon show. So I want to give him a little bit more pub than just a one-liner. I will say from the Jags point of view, you mentioned Christian Kirk. That was a call that you made on FF Now this morning, so congratulations, Stop. 2 touchdowns, very nice. Evan Ingram was a call that I made, though. He did run in week one, a top 9. He had a top 9 route participation percentage of 81, and he did lead the Jaguars in targets. So, you know, he didn't find the end zone. It wasn't a gaudy yardage day, but you like to see him getting peppered and clearly working as a safety valve, as he's expected to, for Trevor Lawrence as he continues to develop. So I think that that's just a player. The matchup was good for him, but he's a player that you want to keep on that streaming radar and probably play the matchups with.
Just 2 quick points here. One, when we talk about following the money in the offseason, for now on, every time I say that, I want someone to reference Christian Kirk in their own brain because this is following the money.
Yep.
He might be underpaid based off how he's played through 2 weeks so far. And then on the running backs, James Robinson getting a more decisive edge over Travis Etienne. I'm not entirely sure what to make of the Travis Etienne moderate role up to this point, but it sure seems like James Robinson is going to be the guy. He found the end zone one more time, and we kind of had these guys ranked comparably coming into week two because of the fact that Robinson played the same number of snaps as Etienne. The edge will go to Etienne. We'll go to Robinson going into week 3.
Yeah, week 2 snap share. Robinson had 40 snaps. Etienne only had 24. And by the way, that run wasn't just like a goal line run where they put James Robinson down there on the 1 yard line. It was a 37-yard touchdown run. He looked good. He still looks great.
It's a great story.
Excited to see that. All right, let's talk about another great story here real quick. Do you mind? Let's just take a quick second, both Liz and Field. Talk about the Detroit Lions.
I'll celebrate too. You can celebrate. I'll give us a celebrate too.
I mean, let's just take a minute because boy, oh boy, is this team not fun to watch. 36 points. Who knew the Detroit Lions were going to score 35 in week one, 36 in week two? The new fantasy darlings, the Detroit Lions, specifically Field Yates, Amon-Ra St. Brown, is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
More than that, Daniel, much more importantly than that, Amon-Ra St. Brown is my favorite player in the NFL right now. It has been decided. He's my favorite player in the league right now. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, remember this offseason, there's no way he's going to get that volume, right? Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to have TJ Hawkinson. They paid DJ Chark $10 million, and they traded it for Jameson Williams. And at the end of the season last year, that was just garbage time fluff for Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Definitely.
If I could spike this mic right now, I would for you, Amon-Ra St. Brown, because you keep spiking the haters. He now has 8 straight games with at least 8 receptions. How many players in NFL history have done that for a longer streak? Zero.
None.
Nobody has done that in a longer streak. He has a chance to make history, become the NFL's all-time leader. He's currently tied with Antonio Brown and Michael Thomas. Say what you want about AB. The dude was a baller during his prime. Michael Thomas, same thing during his prime. He is making unbelievable progress every single week. Teams can't cover him. He looks like baby Cooper Kupp out there is what he looks like.
He honestly
does. My favorite
does.
Player in the NFL. Thank you, Cooper Kupp. I was confident this offseason you have rewarded my optimism.
I love. Thank you, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Thank you, Cooper Kupp. Well, thank you, Cooper.
I mean, he also rewarded it.
I also love you. Yes.
When I look at,
we also know how much Jared Goff appreciates a shifty slot receiver.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that helps the situation, but I don't think enough people are talking about Josh Reynolds and the reunion that Jared Goff and he had, because when he came over, Josh Reynolds did to Detroit. What was that like? Towards the end of last year, he was inactive, and then he had one kind of feel yourself game, and then in week 12 was fully on, was a starter for the squad. From week 12 to week 16, when both Goff and Reynolds were reunited, Josh Reynolds averaged 6 targets per game. He only saw 3, but he converted all 3 of them and found the end zone. I feel like the discrepancy between DJ Chark in fantasy and the reality of Josh Reynolds needs to be talked about and recalibrated.
From that standpoint, I'll say we watched DJ Chark drop a couple of balls today. But we were watching
with Stephon. You might have dropped them. Amon-Ra St. Brown, my son God, you are the man. A couple more takeaways from this game, if I can.
Yes, Daniel, go ahead. Okay?
So for the Commanders, like, they have all of a sudden a very fantasy-friendly offense. It may not be pretty, but Carson Wentz got the job done again. If you had the opportunity to stream, if you wanted to fill in for Dak Prescott, which I had to do in the War Room League, Carson Wentz, it was not pretty at all. But you know what? The results worked. It was disgusting in the first half. He looked terrible in the first half, but the end result was 27.
He looked like Carson Wentz.
Points. Yes, it did. But you know what, Liz? It reminded me of Blake Bortles. See, Blake Bortles his way to 27.8 fantasy points on Sunday against Daniel's Lions. He threw for over 300 passing yards again. He had 3 passing touchdowns, and he's got 3 legit wide receivers. Terry McLaurin, awesome. What else is new? Curtis, although McLaurin's, I know his target share is a little bit low. People are like, what's going on there? Didn't find the end zone.
Can I ask that question?
Yeah, it's a little low.
Real quick overreaction, because this is the second week in a row that Terry McLaurin,
do you need to flip the rankings,
is the third lowest scoring wide receiver on this team behind both Jahan Dotson and Curtis Samuel.
Now, that being said, you are correct. He did have 8 targets, though. Jahan Dotson made the most of his 5 targets, so I still think it's Terry McLaurin.
It's an overreaction question. That's why.
No, but Curtis Samuel might make that conversation pretty interesting. Yes, Curtis Samuel had 7 catches on 9 targets for 78 yards. Plus a touchdown, Liz. He was awesome again.
I will say for Terry McLaurin, though, I did a little bit of digging in my props article on this, and I actually picked the under, so I didn't win the prop. But when you look at Detroit's defense, the thing that they do the best is defending against the middle of the field, and you've got Jahan Dotson shaping up to be one heck of a deep target, right? And you've got Curtis Samuel doing the shorter to intermediate stuff. Then you have Terry McLaurin kind of living in that middle space, and so I think that probably, and Carson Wentz, you know, being a little Carson Wentz-y, going for the sure thing, the more wide open thing, wasn't going to force the ball to Terry McLaurin because he doesn't have to. So I do think that the coverage specifically affected McLaurin's target share and, you know, receiving yards and ability in the red area, right, this game. But I think that moving forward, like, you can't sit him. He's too good, right? I bet the under because I was like, well, I'm going to hedge. And then I got bit on it. But there is something here that at least needs to be considered.
100%. When you look at these wide receivers, a lot of really good pass catchers. And there are worse problems to have than having a lot of good skill position players on your team. I'm sure things will get figured out. Terry McLaurin is still really good.
And by the way, congrats to you. You and Matthew are trading salaries for a couple weeks as a result of that
That's
win.
Right. That's right.
Nice.
I'm going to be buying myself a Tesla, I think.
Oh, I'll be your, I'll ride shotgun.
Yeah, I like it. All right, Jets and Browns. I want to take a quick minute to say.
All hail Garrett Wilson.
I mean, holy cow. I was going to say, not cool, Keith. Really sorry, bud.
Oh, my God.
Was at this game. Our buddy, not cool, Keith, drove to this game, and it was tough. But holy cow, Fields, to your point, my main takeaway was Garrett Wilson was unbelievable. Liz, you already mentioned him. He looked absolutely unlocked in what it is that he could potentially be in this offense. Now, we've watched Joe Flacco have two straight games where he's had to throw the ball what seems like 100 times.
59 and 44, respectively.
So, without saying, I don't really trust Joe Flacco, it doesn't really make a difference if he's going to throw the ball with so much volume as Garrett Wilson worked himself, based on what Liz has said, into a spot where maybe he's forced himself into that flex consideration for you going forward.
Shout out Mike Clay. What did Mike Clay keep telling us all offseason? If you're picking a Jets receiver, pick Garrett Wilson. When Elijah Moore was making headlines in training camp and Corey Davis is the veteran, most experienced player, he said, Garrett Wilson, dude, pedigree.
Yep.
10th overall pick for a reason. Has quickly showed itself. So I think he's going to be in the conversation, especially if you play in a 12-team league. He's a 12-team league flex consideration because, again, the Jets are going to have to throw it a lot. They're not playing great defense right now, and they're running the ball okay, not great.
Yeah.
They're going to throw it a lot.
Well, to that point, Liz, running the ball okay, right? They got Breece Hall. They got Michael Carter. Breece Hall got in the end zone this week. When you're looking at the Jets running backs, how confident do you feel now with 2 weeks of being able to look at them when you look ahead to potentially week three? Are they both flex plays or are you like one of them more than the other?
Well, I think there is movement, right? Like there was clearly impetus placed on getting these rookies more involved. Like no team in this market trades up to get a running back in the second round if they're not going to use this guy, especially one that profiles like as a workhorse the way that Breece Hall does and that has a do-it-all skill set. So I think that you're seeing Breece Hall get more and he's going to get more and it's going to get more and he's only going to grow. I like Michael Carter more from a pass catching standpoint, and Michael Carter did, it needs to be said, outsnap Breece Hall by a good margin, but I still feel like this is the drumbeat that we want to hear for Breece Hall. Breece Hall was on my bench. I'm okay with it. In 2 weeks, bet he won't be.
Yeah, I think that is the only part that gives me pause, Liz, and I'm glad you brought it up, is the snap share, right? The idea that Michael Carter right now is out there currently more, and that could just be Breece Hall is getting things figured out. He's a rookie. They're letting him be able to figure his time out on the field. But when you look at these, do you have any differences from Liz when you look at these two running backs?
It might be a little bit longer before Breece Hall gets to where Liz is describing, but I'm with her that eventually the cream rises.
Yeah.
We took a moment here to just shout out a crazy, crazy thing.
Do it.
So the world of fantasy and the world of reality don't always blend, right? Sometimes they do, you know, like Patrick Mahomes, great in real football, great in fantasy football. Josh Allen, you name it, all these guys, Cooper Kupp. Nick Chubb did something on Sunday that fantasy managers were thrilled about, right?
Yes.
Less than 2 minutes to go. The Browns have the ball. They're up by the time 6 points. The Jets are out of timeouts, 1:55 left. Nick Chubb runs into the end zone. Browns take a 13-point lead. All seems good, right?
Yes.
Nick Chubb's third touchdown of the day, 32.3 fantasy points. He's been amazing so far this year, right? And if he had gone down, Nick Chubb in the fantasy world might have heard it from some people out there that needed him to have those 32 points as opposed to just 26 points. But the next time a football player goes down on his own to run the clock and end the game, which if Nick Chubb had done that, three knees, Browns win. Instead, the Jets pull off a miracle. The next time and somebody pulls a Brian Westbrook, we saw Todd Gurley do this. We saw Nick Chubb himself do this before. The next time that happens, you should never tweet negative things at a player. But understand it. Don't get mad. This is how it works. Because if Nick Chubb had done that, and it's not Nick Chubb's fault, the Browns lost the game. They played terrible defense throughout much of the game, especially in those final 2 minutes.
Missed some kicks.
But yeah, they missed. You name it. They did some bad things, yep. Right? Yep. But if he just takes a knee right there, that game is over. And now you understand why players do it in the past. As much as our fantasy teams matter, and I love you for those 32.3 points, Nick Chubb.
Yep.
Fantasy teams are not as important as real teams. This is a tough one for the Browns today.
totally agree. I want to add one thing to that, and it's not necessarily about Nick Chubb. It's just on the other side of that. We watched Kareem Hunt did not get as much work as he had gotten last week. Only 58 yards rushing, 2 catches for 16 yards. Nick Chubb actually had 3 catches for 26 yards in this game, which is unreal. Snap share, though, still really, really close. Nick Chubb, 35 snaps. Kareem Hunt, 30. Chubb just made more of his opportunities this week. Yep. All right, one other guy, Amari Cooper. This is someone I did not draft very much of this year. Yeah. I just got to be totally honest. And he crushed it this game. And there are going to be these games where it happens, right?
The only thing I'll say is the Browns talked about this during the week. He's too good to have the kind of game he had in week one. We'll see a better version of him in week two. He rewarded us.
And we saw it. There we go. Going to trust it a little bit more week forward. Speaking of trusting it, going forward, Field, let's talk about the Buccaneers and the Saints.
Yeah, do we have to?
I don't really want to.
No, we should. This game, 20-10, the Bucs win.
You started with Tom Brady. Let's just start there again. Like, on Tom Brady, I know that you talked about how you're not worried. You're still trusting it. But in all honesty, right, we're here in week three. We already spent week two. We said, hey, if you want to go out and grab Carson Wentz and start him over Tom Brady this week, I think I'm in that spot. And now we head into week three with another game like this. When you look at Tom Brady, I understand being patient, but are you considering rostering a second quarterback right now if you have Tom Brady?
Yes, because I already did it today.
Okay, all right.
I did it on multiple occasions, Carson Wentz over Tom Brady. What I will also add, Daniel, is it depends on the health of the receivers, right? Because if Chris Godwin's out for a month and Mike Evans remains banged up, or Julio Jones is still out again next week, or Mike Evans, some are calling for potential suspension because of what happened on Sunday between he and Marshawn Lattimore, it changes the picture.
Totally.
But if he has all those guys back, then all of a sudden you're saying to yourself, it's still Tom Brady, right? Yep. And there were really no signs of decline last year. The most concerning thing for me beyond the injuries is that this team has been a bit run heavier than they were last season. It seems like that shift from Todd Bowles or to Todd Bowles from Bruce Arians is impacting the offense in that way.
I got to be honest, Liz, as a Leonard Fournette manager, I do not mind the shift to being a little bit more run heavy, as Leonard Fournette had 28 touches in week one. He had 28 touches in week two, if I have that correct. And so we're now at a spot where, like, he's getting a ton of workload. How do you feel about Leonard Fournette and the rest of this Bucs offense around Brady?
Well, he wasn't particularly efficient today, which we kind of expected because of the matchup and because of the injuries along the offensive line. But I'm still a little bit shook that he's not seeing more in the passing game, considering the injuries, considering the absences. That's 2 catches back-to-back weeks. Like, I drafted Leonard Fournette high because I expected him to see upwards of 6 targets, maybe 7 targets a game. That's not there for him right now. I think that that's because of what Field is mentioning and the shift in coaching philosophy, but I don't mind 24 catches. I'd like to see him be a little bit more efficient, but at the end of the day, volume is volume, and he is at least somewhat involved in the passing game.
Yeah, I'm good with Lenny right now. It's too much volume overall for me to be disappointed.
Agreed from that standpoint. Let's talk about the Saints, yep. Field, and Michael Thomas. 9 targets, 6 catches, 65 yards, gets in the end zone again. Love being able to see that. I love this for Michael Thomas. But my question is about the rookie wide receiver, Chris Olave. Yeah. Had 13 targets, and this is part of what we are looking to see from this guy. He tried a couple times to be able to stretch the field. Jameis missed him a few times, but I liked that ability.
Only thing I'll say is that you're right. So the targets number is really good. 13 is a great number. His targets versus Michael Thomas targets are different, right?
Yes.
Like, not all things are created equal with targets. And to your point, Daniel, a lot of this is down the field, right? Where it's like, hey, we're down by 17 points in the fourth quarter. Let's just see if we can get 50 yards at a time here. So love Chris Olave, love the pedigree, love the speed and so many things. But my guess is that Michael Thomas will be a much more efficient player on a per target basis.
Definitely more quality targets.
Michael Thomas is going to see 8 targets. Michael Thomas is seeing 8 targets a week.
You
like
love
that's
it.
What he saw last week. That's what he's going to see this week. He has 3 touchdowns and he looked vintage with that toe tap and the boundary awareness today. I mean, I think that he is proving he is healthy and back. And even though it didn't bear out in this matchup, I think that that gives Jameis Winston a higher ceiling overall on balance when looking at the position throughout the season.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to the second matchup this year between the Bucs and the Saints after the way that this one turned out.
Week 13 of Monday Night Football.
Oh, hey now. All right, Field, we're going to talk about some more stuff in just a moment. But first, let's pay some bills.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
Of course
you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help, like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you can save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Hiring is challenging, especially right now when you have so much on your plate. But luckily, there's only one place that you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. a place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter does the work for you. ZipRecruiter uses its powerful technology to find and match the right candidates up with your job. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the number one rated hiring site based on G2 satisfaction ratings as of January 1st, 2022. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, our listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. That's ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter.com/FFF. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, coming out, we're going to talk Giants and Panthers. Liz, I watched the game, all of these games with Field today, so I already know his take on Christian McCaffrey. I was actually complaining for the second week in a row, as much as I loved the usage that Christian McCaffrey got. It felt like Baker Mayfield does not like throwing the ball to CMC the way that I want him to. If you are looking at CMC, where are you at on him? Because right now, I need more passing game usage.
I would be very happy with what you have because I would like him to stay on the field and he cannot handle more than he's getting right now.
Fair.
So if I were you, I would stay with being grateful. Efficiency is going to be Christian McCaffrey's gift here rather than overuse. That is a drum that I have been pounding since July, though, and I know that a lot of people don't agree with that. Regardless, do you mind over 100 yards on 15 carries? I don't think you should. 5 targets, 4 catches. That's not bad either. I think what I am most thrilled with is DJ Moore finding the end zone. 1 down, 3 to go, baby.
Yeah, that one wasn't too bad at all. I actually just traded you DJ Moore in a league. So
thank you for that. I appreciate it.
I was bummed the week that I did that. I want to say this really quickly to Liz's point on, like, I understand you need to be able to have CMC out on the field. And this production is not necessarily bad from a running back. However, because of the person that we know that Christian McCaffrey is, this feels like a disappointment when you have a game where he only ends up with 15 fantasy points.
Yeah,
it just does.
I hear you. I think the backdrop, though, would be no top of the board running back is smashing it in back-to-back weeks right now. Right? It's not like you bypass Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley had another monster game, right? Like Saquon was very pedestrian today with 11.8 fantasy points. Jonathan Taylor had 7.3 fantasy points. There's nobody that you could have had at pick 2 amongst running backs that is absolutely smashing right now.
Yeah. What the heck is up with that? Why are wide receivers crushing it in running backs
right now?
Yeah, right.
Take Cooper Kupp. Never in doubt. Take Cooper Kupp. Hey. A couple more takeaways from this game, though, Daniel, just to put a pin on it, is Saquon was fine today. I mean, nothing great, right? 11.8 fantasy points, 72 rushing yards, 3 catches for 16 yards. He is prone for big plays, but when he doesn't have those big plays, it is going to decrease the ceiling here. And while the Giants are 2-0 and a great story, they are not going to find the end zone very much. So the touchdown upside for Saquon Barkley is a little bit different as opposed to somebody like maybe not Jonathan Taylor, he's not a very good offense, but other running backs that are on good offenses, if those other running backs do exist on good offenses, they probably have a better shot at 10 or 12 rushing touchdowns because they'll be near the end zone so frequently.
Rishi James, best pass catcher on the Giants? Worth
no
rostering.
Comment. No comment at this time right now, Daniel.
Anybody?
No,
Liz, talk to me about, really quickly, Giants wide receivers. How are you breaking them down?
I like Sterling Shepard. I love Sterling Shepard in terms of volume. I mean, he's 10 double-digit targets. He started the season. What a great story coming back from the Achilles injury that upended 2021. He started the season with a ton of volume, worked really hard to get back. I believe he led the Giants in receiving yards going over 70 last week. Now he's got 10 targets. Kadarius Toney, as exciting as he is, just isn't reliable for a lot of reasons. Wandale Robinson can't get on the field, isn't healthy. I think Sterling Shepard is one of those totally unsexy, but very high floor, like in terms of a full point PPR leagues type of flex.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Speaking of unsexy, Liz, not speaking of the Patriots, running backs specifically is what I'm going with that one really quickly.
Daniel,
I just wanted to head that train off before we got there. Damian Harris, 71 rushing yards, a touchdown and 2 catches. Ramondre Stevenson, 41 rushing yards, only 1 catch for 4 yards. A 10-point difference between these two running backs this week. Damian Harris with 16.7 fantasy points. Ramondre Stevenson, 6.1. And Liz, we talked about without Ty Montgomery, with him going on IR, we thought Ramondre Stevenson was going to see more work in the passing game. And instead, we saw Damian Harris. When you're going into looking at these Patriots running backs, do you feel confident with either one of them right now being in your starting lineup?
I don't like to start either one of them. And I think that what the sentence that you just said should add an ellipses this week. It could very easily change. But Damian Harris was a value in draft. That's bearing out. He is the lead running back. There are going to be games in which Ramondre Stevenson blows up in the passing game, and there are going to be opportunities where Damian Williams sees more goal line equity. But I think that we have to keep ranking Harris ahead of Stevenson until we see anything differently. And 15 to 9 carries leads me to believe that Harris, even if Stevenson is a little bit more explosive, a little bit more efficient, is still the lead guy.
You know, the time of this conversation, Damian Harris is RB4 for the week at 16.7 fantasy points.
That's bad.
Where have all the elite running backs gone?
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. To that point, even with that, week 2 snap share, Ramondre Stevenson, 41 snaps. Damian Harris, only 26.
Yeah, but I thought one of them would become the designated passing down back.
Doesn't feel
the
like
the Ty Montgomery
happened.
Rule. It felt like neither one of them, right? Like it didn't feel like the Patriots in third and whatever brought in, okay, time for Ramondre to get on the field.
You know who they passed to instead?
They passed to Jacoby Myers.
Nelson Aguilar. Yeah, they went there instead.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nelson Aguilar, great game. He's a solid NFL player, but as far as fantasy is concerned, the sample size continues to show that the one player that's probably like a low end flex player or a deeper league consideration, it's Jacoby Myers. Really good. Just a good football player. Good at the game, as they say.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. For the Ravens.
Steelers. They're easy.
It's very simple.
They're simple. Here you go. You ready?
Go ahead.
Deontay Johnson, great volume, has the opportunity to score you somewhere between 12 and 20 fantasy points any week.
Najee Harris.
Great volume for the most part, but inefficient as all get out as a runner, and he needs the passing game utilization. He had 5 catches on Sunday. You're good with that, right? Pat Freiermuth, low end tight end 1, high end tight end 2. A lot of volume, good in the red zone. Went to Brooks.
Second best athlete.
Yeah, one more point as well. No big deal. That's it. That's the Steelers roster right there.
It really is.
I mean, Chase Claypool's a nice player, and Pat and George Pickens is a nice player, but for fantasy right now, can't start those guys.
No, agreed. Liz, anything real quick you want to add on Steelers before we talk Ravens?
Think that was a perfect summation.
All right, so let's talk about the Falcons because we already talked about Kyle Pitts earlier, and Drake London absolutely crushed it in this game. 8 catches, 12 targets, 86 yards, and a touchdown. He looked fantastic. He looks like the only fantasy starter right now. Cordero Patterson had another rough one here in this game, but honestly, when I look at this roster, there's a couple of guys. I'm still starting Kyle Pitts every week. I'm still starting Drake London as a flex. And if I have Cordero Patterson and I drafted him as my RB2, I'm probably still starting Cordero Patterson.
I don't get the Kyle Pitts thing again. So let's just put the logic hat on here for a second, right? If they have two players that scare you, Drake London and Kyle Pitts, it shouldn't be that Drake London is able to run free on every single play, it seems, right? Through two games, he's got 5 catches in the first game for 74 yards. He has 8 catches for, let me get the specific numbers here, 86 yards and a touchdown in week 2. Like, if it's that easy to get Drake London open, there's only 11 defensive players on the field. How can we not get Kyle Pitts more opportunities? I am trying to manifest this. I am not asking for much in life. I just want a few more targets for Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I have a feeling Kyle Pitts is going to do some work in week 3. I mean, he draws the Seahawks, and they have been absolutely generous across the middle of the field. So that's a nice get-right opportunity for Pitts.
I like the optimism.
Yeah, thank you, Liz. I needed that as well. That made me feel a lot better about it now that we're moving on. All right, for the rest of this game, Matthew Stafford, you know,
he's fine.
He was fine.
Couple bad picks
is what he is. Let's talk about these running backs.
Yeah, I love you, Cooper Kupp. So good.
He's so good.
This is important, Daniel. This is important. The running backs.
These running backs conversation is where it's at. It's going to be tough.
You're breathing a deep sigh of relief if you drafted Cam Akers. Not because he was good enough to play, but he played just 8 fewer snaps than Daryl Henderson. And he had 44 rushing yards plus 2 catches for 18 yards. So 8.2 fantasy points that if things keep trending this way, the door appears open to Cam Akers. Maybe there's a world in which he becomes a starter. Either Henderson gets hurt or he struggles. This was a good day for Cam Akers. We're not there yet, but compared to where we were last week, I mean, I thought maybe this is Trey Sermon 2.0. Not the case.
We may... Liz, you may have been on the show earlier this year when we talked about this, when we talked about specifically about Sean McVay playing 2 running backs rather than just having one guy. And right now, at least the way it started, it feels like he's going to sort of lean on both of these running backs at least a little bit to start the season. Is that fair?
For now. Yeah. I mean, we had Adam Schefter on FF Now this morning talking about how Cam Akers has been working really hard and that the vibe was that he was going to get more of a shot. And that I will maintain that Sean McVay maybe Cam McVay. Maybe Sean McVay and Cam Akers were on a bit of a break. But I also think Sean McVay really likes, he loves Cam Akers. And I do feel like if Cam Akers continues to prove himself, then he is going to eventually be the 1A in this backfield. I mean, we've also seen Sean McVay take the job away from Darrell Henderson plenty of times, right? So I do think there's an opportunity for Akers if he continues to improve. And I, despite the, you know, the snap share situation, although it was pretty close, do like that Akers handled the ball five more times in terms of on the ground carries than Henderson did, even if Henderson got the touchdown.
A couple more guys really quickly from pass catching perspectives, Liz. Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
Got in the end zone. You love to be able to see that. And Tyler Higbee was really involved outside of Cooper Kupp when you're looking at these Rams wide receivers and even Tyler Higbee. After week one, there was a little bit of nervousness coming into this. You're feeling a little bit better now after week two when you see the way that they were able to spread the ball around.
I'm feeling great. And let me tell you this. When we looked at this matchup, right, pretty tough because Atlanta's got two really good corners. And so I was like, oh, I want to see what Robinson can do because obviously two targets to open the season wasn't what we wanted to see. But remember the last target? In the end zone. All right. So that means it was there. It was available in the playbook. And now, with the extra time, McVay has further folded this new piece into an offense that also had its offensive line shuffled. And now Matt Stafford is able to build more rapport with Robinson. I think, again, evolution takes time. We want to see everything happen like we expect it to happen in week seven, in week one and two. Evolution takes time. It is getting there. This is nothing but positive. People should be optimistic by some of this, especially because he's getting those high value looks in the red area of the field.
He actually had his second touchdown that was called back. By the way, I can't decide if I'm on a fantasy football podcast or an archaeology class right now. Evolution takes time, Liz. It is true. I love it.
That's a big fan. I'm a big fan of that. All right. Let's talk one more thing here. That's really tough from, I feel like this, there's no good, easy way to handle this. Look at the 49ers game, Seahawks, Trey Lance. We were really excited about this season.
Yeah, sucks.
Excited to be able to see what was going to happen.
Sucks.
Really tough injury.
Yeah, broke his ankle early. Happened. Looked nasty at the time. Going to miss the rest of this year. Super bum for Trey Lance. Great kid by all accounts. I know that he was imperfect and there was a lot of question marks about whether he'd be able to hold onto this job for the entire season, but this sucks for anybody.
You never want to see this.
Yeah, but he's barely played over the past two seasons. He's now going to have a third year of basically no football being played, so it sucks. The 49ers kept Jimmy Garoppolo as the ultimate insurance policy. They have him. As far as fantasy goes, for those that rostered Trey Lance, obviously it was a tough week one, and you got nothing virtually today because he got injured very early. You're going to have to find another quarterback. Don't think it really makes a difference for his pass catchers, to be honest, Daniel, because we saw what they looked like last year with Jimmy G, and Debo was what he was, which is an elite wide receiver, and George Kittle, when he plays, is one of the better tight ends. But I'm bummed for Trey Lance, man. I wish you the best. Hope you get well soon. I know it's going to be 2023 when you're back as your year, but a real bummer for this kid.
Real bummer. Real bummer. And to your point, like you said, not a whole lot from a fantasy perspective. I do think there's some small bumps when you talk about for the pass catchers. They get a slightly more accurate quarterback. For the running backs, they don't have Trey Lance potentially stealing goal line work there from that standpoint. So even Debo might get a few more touches from that perspective. But Liz, let's talk about the Seahawks on the other side of this. Well, you want to start with DK Metcalf? Do you want to start with DK Metcalf or do you want to start somewhere else with the Seahawks? Because he was disappointing to me and I feel like that's where I want to start.
Then we can start at DK Metcalf.
All right, great.
I think
let's
that
do
DK
it.
Metcalf was a swing for the fences. He was a swing for the fences play and, you know, he missed him.
Yeah, he did have he had a long catch that was called back for those that may have seen it. But, you know,
this is going to be DK Metcalf this year with Geno under center.
Just
right?
is, Daniel.
Week
it just
one,
is.
Week
it just
one was seven
is.
For
we
35.
About this. Yes, today four for 35. Like, this was the thing coming into the season that I expressed my major concern on. It has nothing to do with DK Metcalf. He's so good at football. He's awesome. The problem is, as I said, coming into the season 6,000 times, this offense is going to be one of the lowest passing volume offenses in the league. Geno Smith, again, held under 200 pass. They're just under or right around 200 passing yards. Second straight game without a touchdown through the air for DK Metcalf. There's under 200, Daniel confirms. We're going to have a couple of boom days because he's DK bleeping Metcalf, but this is what you signed up for. The possibility that he was going to have some 35-yard games. Unfortunately, you've gotten back-to-back games.
Where I signed up for DK, though, I don't have a problem deciding that, hey, man, I might go a different direction in my flex than him every once in a while.
Yeah, yes and no. It was like wide receiver 17 to 20 off the board, depending on when you drafted. So there certainly were other players that were going around that had some value, but we described him in the same vein as like Mike Williams, who we saw in week one, dud. Week two, pretty darn good, right? Excellent. Yeah. So it's a little bit of it's going to be a yo-yo play with DK. I just fear they're going to be far more down weeks than up weeks.
Yeah, and this week, unfortunately, a down week with DK Metcalf and then an up week, Liz, because of that. Where Tyler Lockett, 9 catches on 11 targets, 107 yards, 5 games with 100 yards last season. But also, the other side of Tyler Lockett, it's the same way. 7 games with under 40 yards. This is going to be a part of it with these wide receivers. Anything else here in this Seattle offense? Because the running backs look pretty awful. I don't, if I can help it, I don't want to start anyone from the Seattle Seahawks when it comes to my fantasy teams.
I think that's about it. I mean, I think that Tyler Lockett is going to have value and utility once we move into buys and injuries start mounting, right? At least among wide receivers. Tyler Lockett is a technician. And so in your flex, if you are nervous about some of your other plays, then you know that you can put him in there and you're probably going to get 5 catches, right? Like, I know last week he went under that, but you're probably going to see 5 catches. That's not great, but you know that even if he's targeted, he's really efficient. So even if he's not even if he doesn't draw 11 targets, he's still going to give you something. I think that's what you have to deal with Lockett. Yeah. And where you drafted him, you should be comfortable with that.
Yeah. I actually think that, like, based off where you got Tyler Lockett, it's a better deal, right? Because he was like wide receiver 40 off the board. DK, I think, is a little bit more disheartening.
It's tougher.
And the running backs, again, if they're not playing good offense and they're both splitting carries, stay away.
Let's talk about not playing good offense. Texans at the Broncos. You could pick either one of these teams.
Can I just mention really quickly the running backs for the 49ers. Jeff Wilson did lead the way. He got a lot of opportunities. 84 rushing yards for Jeff Wilson plus 2 catches for 19 yards. Did not find the end zone, but good stuff there from Jeff Wilson as a pure runner.
Yep. Heck yeah. All right. Texans at Broncos, and there is not a single player on the Texan side of the football that scored more than 10 fantasy points in this game. It was tough sledding across the board. Brandon Cooks at least had 10 targets. You love to see that. He's still a guy that you're starting as a flex perspective or as a flex player every single week, but you did see Damian Pierce, 69 rushing yards, and that was the big thing you wanted to see.
That's what mattered today, is that the snap count flipped, and this past week, Lovie Smith said, we got to get more of Damian Pierce, and I said... Are we sure we're going to get more? Like, he's the defensive head coach, not the offensive head coach. We got it. And Damian Pierce looked solid. He had 69 rushing yards. Again, the other concern for Damian Pierce coming into this season was not just the potential that he wasn't going to be an every down back, but limited passing game usage. 1 catch for 8 yards. Liz, good player, good prospect. I still think, though, that maybe things got a little bit out of whack during the preseason with the ADP for Damian Pierce.
Completely agree. The helium just absolutely blew up his ADP. And the problem, Pierce, you're hitting on it, is that I don't believe that the Houston Texans are going to give Pierce solid game script ever, you know? And if he's not catching passes, and we know that Rex Burkhead, even if he wasn't involved today, can do that, then I'm a little bit worried about the usage. So I think that Pierce, because he's a great runner and because, you know, he might get lucky near the goal line, is probably going to be like an RB30 every week, but he's not going to be the RB2 that a lot of people drafted him as.
Well, from that standpoint, I feel like you're probably still, if you drafted him as an RB2, but here's the
then
tough part.
Then you're out of luck.
Yeah, you're just stuck with it right there. Maybe you got lucky and you got a flex, but you're going to have to roll with it and go from that standpoint. But still, someone I'd rather have on my bench, see how he progresses.
It's one guy. Brandon Cooks, right? It's still Brandon Cooks. I know that, you know, again, only 4 catches today, but 10 targets, Daniel. Good player. Like, that's, you're going to take the ups and downs there.
This
is a bad week for Brandon Cooks, and he still gets you 9.4 fantasy points. You feel pretty solid about that.
Let's talk about Russell Wilson.
Do we have to?
I don't want to. Oof. Listen, I know last week he technically had 340 yards and a touchdown.
He was good last week.
Yeah. He was good. He's still only 17.8 fantasy points. I got to be honest. If you're under 20 fantasy points,
it
feels like a little bit of a bummer to me.
That's fair. Yeah, especially for elite quarterback, right?
Yeah, right? 2 games now. Russ only 11.08 fantasy points in this game. 2 straight weeks. It makes me a little bit nervous from this perspective because the Broncos offense just looks.
I thought Russ got traded to a place that allowed him to be himself and where he could cook and
I don't think so.
They weren't holding him back at all. Isn't that what happened?
I think rather than cooking, he is.
He's marinating, right? Because a lot of time waiting.
Daniel. No, Liz,
a lot of time waiting. I'm seeing delay of game calls for this Broncos offense. I'm seeing the fans literally at the home crowd.
Seven,
calling
six,
out the play five. Clock for the Denver Broncos. What is going on? Oh, my God.
It's awful. It was awful. Well, I mean, honestly,
Nathaniel Hackett is having trouble feeling himself. We know that, right? And yeah, there are some communication issues. I also think we need to talk about Jerry Jeudy, because I believe that negatively affected Russell Wilson. I think that Russell Wilson really likes having Jerry Jeudy on the field. And when we talked about this wide receiving core heading into this season, we talked about how deep they are. And now they're looking a little more shallow than any of us anticipated.
And by the way, Jeudy left the game with a shoulder injury. No immediate update on his status. We'll follow that one closely. Rest of the Broncos, again, Javonte Williams has more fantasy points than Melvin Gordon, but Gordon still played a good amount.
Yes, he did.
He had 21 snaps. Williams had 42. So maybe still the decisive edge of Javonte Williams there, but Melvin Gordon's going to be a thing. Not much passing game utilization for Javonte Williams. Just one catch this week. Cortland Sutton led the way. 7 catches for 122 yards. Another solid day for Big C Sutt.
All right, we got 2 more 4 o'clock games to be able to close out here. This next one was a tough one to watch. Oh, Bengals at the Cowboys.
0-2 Bengals.
I got to tell you, if I draft Joe Burrow, I am feeling a little bit nervous. If he is my only quarterback in a 10-team league, I think I'm probably looking at the waiver wire to see what options I have, because there is, unless you tell me that there are actual receipts, I do not believe they upgraded that offensive line.
Oh, they haven't.
At all this year.
They haven't. Here's the good news. And here is the game that tells us everything. They play the Jets next week. So if he duds against the Jets again, then we're in serious trouble. If you've been hanging on to him, though, I will have him inside my top 10 for this week. But it's been brutal. The offensive line has not been fixed at all. It looks just as bad, if not worse, as it was that it was last year. It's impacted everybody. Jamar Chase was awesome in week one, but 5 catches, 54 yards in week two. 9 targets is still good for Jamar Chase.
Of course it is.
You'll live with all that, and you're still going to play him, and you're still going to play T. Higgins, who had a good day. Hayden Hurst had another useful day, had 5 catches. But this Bengals offense that we thought had a chance to take a step forward, yeesh.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl hangover apparently impacted both teams.
Joe Mixon is still a starter. All the running backs are still starters. Joe Burrow, to your point, still going to be a starter for next week. But there are major question marks after these first 2 weeks. I'm really nervous going into this.
Good reason.
All right, Liz, let's look at these.
Would you actually even say, I have a question actually about Joe Burrow. Because when we look at the number of sacks he's taken, right? Yeah. 12, I believe, over the last 6 per week, over the last 2 weeks. Now I'm nervous about his health. We've seen him get hurt, obviously, in his first year because of the offensive line. Paid a bunch of money, obviously, to Alex Kappa to help shore that up. But now, would you recommend, as we're seeing all of these quarterbacks get hurt and miss time, even if you're going to start Joe Burrow next week against the Jets, maybe get a jump on the competition and try to add some insurance on your waiver wire, because what we thought, again, was a super deep position looking more and more shallow.
Yeah, not a bad call there, Liz. The only thing that's a little bit concerning is that as somebody who monitors the waiver wire, now Eric Moody writes the column, like the quarterback options this past week were fairly limited. It was Carson Wentz, and that was basically it. And Carson Wentz is added in a ton of leagues this week. So it's worth a curiosity look, but of course you're going to be competing with those that maybe have someone like Trey Lance or other quarterbacks like Tom Brady that have struggled out of the gates.
I know you may be asking, hey, the Detroit Lions scored 35 plus points 2 weeks in a row. I'm not suggesting that you go out and grab Jared Goff. Don't do that.
You know what? He can kind of ugly his way to a couple points, though.
Field, stop it. You ain't got no alibi. All right, let's talk about these Cowboys.
We should, though. Yes, totally.
All right, because with this, it was really tough across the board, unfortunately.
I thought better than I expected, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, better than I expected for a couple guys.
Okay. Maybe you know what? I thought it was as I was expecting for some, tough for some others. Let's talk about the running backs here. Ezekiel Elliott. 53 rushing yards, only 1 catch.
He ain't got no juice, man. It's tough to watch, Liz. He looks like me after a long day. I mean, I'm not fast as it were, but it'll take me an hour to get to my car after this show.
That's how I feel after a burrito.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. He's like in a perpetual state of having wolfed down a burrito. You just feel lethargic. Zeke looks minimal juice.
And it's tough when you have someone on the other side of that, like Tony Pollard, that is looking so explosive from that standpoint. Liz, like, are you looking at these Cowboys running backs and thinking, boy, maybe it might be a little bit of a time for thinking about which one of these guys we like a little bit more than the other?
I mean, we've been having this debate since about this time, or maybe a month into the season since last year. And I think that at the end of the day, the goal line equity that Ezekiel Elliott sees is always going to make him the 1A, because as much as we talk about PPR, touchdowns matter more. And Ezekiel Elliott, you know, he did see 2 targets. He wasn't efficient. He doesn't have the juice. but he is going to see the volume. I like Tony Pollard, but his usage continues to be wildly frustrating. We like to see the seven targets, but what happens when Michael Gallup comes back? What happens when some of these other pieces get healthy? Like, I'm going to have to debate with myself about it next week, but I'm also not feeling terribly confident when I set my lineup that Tony Pollard is going to get me double-digit fantasy points.
Yeah, not I feel better about Pollard in part because I do wonder if maybe the reason why he got so much passing game usage is that Cooper Rush is under center and they had to just create opportunities for their best playmakers. And with the football in his hands, I'm not sure there's anybody on the roster other than CeeDee Lamb who's as good in space as Tony Pollard is.
If I was the Cowboys.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, and I had forgotten this piece, Dalton Schultz went out of this game injured,
yes,
which I do think actually helps Tony Pollard quite a bit in terms of Cooper Rush being the quarterback and needing a check down valve. And that could help Tony Pollard stay static in the receiving game.
Yeah. One thing, by the way, to put a bow on this one is that CeeDee Lamb still got 11 targets back to back weeks with 11 targets. He caught seven of them this week for 75 yards. Credit where it's due. Cooper Rush kept CeeDee Lamb in sort of that low end wide receiver two range.
I'm pretty sure 75 yards was the red zone question for CeeDee Lamb, was it not?
I believe it was. That sounds right. I don't know what we do in the instance of a push. I'm going to have to talk to some sources on that one.
All right, we got one more, and it's Cardinals at the Raiders.
Raiders!
Couple of guys.
What a game.
I mean, this was back and forth. I'll tell you what was really disappointing. Davante Adams. Coming out of the 17 targets that he had week one, this one was really tough to be able to watch from that standpoint. Only six targets in this game. You don't expect that to continue, but there was no way in watching this game that I could not just feel like, what are we doing here?
I have no idea what happened, but I'm going to chalk it up to nothing, Daniel. He's going to bounce back. He's Davante Adams, 17 targets. I'm not concerned here about him. The problem is that other than him, like really nobody amongst these Raiders produced in a major way. Darren Waller had the best day. He had 17 fantasy points, but I still think the Raiders kind of are what they are with these players, right? Like yep. Carr's a low-end quarterback too, maybe a mid-range quarterback too. Yep. Darren Waller, you're going to start him. Devonta Adams, you're going to start him. Hunter Renfrow's like a deep league flex play. And then Josh Jacobs is the leader of a backfield that right now feels like the best case scenario is solid RB2, Or solid flex play.
Yeah, you hope he falls in the end zone.
The Cardinals are interesting, though. That's where I think the more interest comes from.
You know what the Cardinals are? They're not interesting. They're scary to me.
Well, yes, but I clowned on them in the war room as we were watching the game. I'm like, oh my God, this team is so out of sorts, right? Then they came back from a 23-0 deficit and won in overtime. Kyler Murray goes off in the second half. He was great. Love to see that. But James Conner got hurt, and all of a sudden we have a major injury to monitor, Liz. Is there anybody in that Cardinals backfield that piques your interest beyond James Conner? Did not return to the game. You've got a bunch of names that, I guess Darrell Williams is semi-familiar, but other than that, it's like not exactly a household backup crew.
No, I mean, it's Darrell Williams, who we saw in Kansas City, right? And Eno Benjamin. They both saw eight carries. Williams scored the touchdown. We saw him have a ton of goal line equity in Kansas City, right? But then in the passing game, it was Benjamin who drew four targets, caught three of them. Darrell Williams drew three targets, caught two of them. Very, very even split. I'd probably give the edge to Williams because of the goal line usage. But then when you have a quarterback like Kyler Murray scampering into the end zone and doing, you know, Dachshund of the Desert type things, it tends to cancel that bit out. So I think this is going to be a situation to monitor. I do want to give props, though, to the Greg Dortch call that was made during FF Now.
Heck yeah. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it, Liz.
Well done. Yeah. Four catches, 55 yards and a touchdown for the Dortch machine.
And listen, you hope that you don't wait until Sunday to be able to do this. But if you wait until Sunday to do waivers, sometimes you're in a spot where you just got to find someone. Greg Dortch was the call that we made this week.
Back-to-back good weeks for Greg Dortch. Good to see you there. Hollywood Brown.
Can we also
targets,
just give
though.
Some love?
Yes,
can,
as much
can we
love.
Also give some love to the city of Las Vegas? While they did not come away with the win in this game, Becky Hammon and the Aces are WNBA champions.
Yeah, they are.
So hooray, Las Vegas, for one giant trophy.
Yeah. Respect to Becky Hammon. She rules. Great WNBA season again. Anything else from that Cardinals-Raiders game? Like, I will be honest with you. Little bit disappointed in the Raiders passing offense through two games. Other than the Davante Adams smash game in week one, I was expecting more. A little bit of funk right now for Raiders. 0-2 for a team that came in with massive expectations.
I also kind of feel that way, though, with the Cardinals, because other than, like, I realized that they found a way to win. Yeah, but they did not look sharp through last week or the first half.
Yeah, I'm saying that, like, it doesn't change the value of these players that they have on their roster. Like, I just sort of laid out where the Raiders are, but I'm just surprised, just like a real football conversation, surprised by how the Raiders have performed thus far.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, we're going to pay a few more bills, come back with our good buddy Mike Clay in just one second.
You're taking that one all to your own.
That's right. But first, Field, go ahead and give us something from Body Armor.
Fantasy football season is underway, and that means more of what you love. The teams, the rivalries, the stats, trash talking friends. This season, you know your favorite players are hydrating with Body Armor sports drink on and off the field. Your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray, how good was he? Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, they all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best and give you the trash talking points you need. Whatever your workout routine, you're going to need to stay hydrated, and Body Armor has got you covered. Made with potassium-packed electrolytes, Body Armor, sports antioxidants, no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, and coconut water. It's a great time to grab some Body Armor sports drink for yourself. Everybody is focused on staying active and healthy, and hydration is an important part of that. Body Armor sports drink, more than a sports drink. Now, through November 1, buy any one Body Armor product at your local convenience store and scan the QR code in-store to enter to be one of hundreds of winners to receive $100 in DraftKings prizing. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to U.S. residents 21 and older.
Football fans, the first Sunday of the NFL season is here and gone. And now DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. And as an added bonus for week one, everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings' early win promotion. It's simple. Bet on an NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. I literally just did that with the Detroit Lions earlier this week. They came out on top. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FFF to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday. That's code FFF only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER in Tennessee. Call or text Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Bonus issued as free bets. One early win token issued at opt-in. Moneyline bets only. Deposit and wagering restrictions apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football term.
So good. Well done by you.
I messed up that last part a little bit, but that's all right.
All right, let's talk.
You last part is called Rookie Mistakes, brought to you by Snickers. Avoid a rookie mistake and eat a Snickers. Field.
I'm going to run through it, and here's the reality. These are thoughts that were shared by our friend, Mike Clay. So I'm going to do my best to put on my Mike Clay hat for you for a second. If I sound like a machine, it's because I am. Here are some things that we are Liz. Okay, here we go. Ready? We'll rip through them, I'll take one, and then you can pass it to Liz.
Yeah, you got it.
We'll go all the way. Mike Clay says, do panic on Travis Etienne. I mentioned it as well earlier. We're seeing more from James Robinson. Meanwhile, Travis Etienne had three catches today, but barely rushed the ball. I was hoping for more in the passing game and as a runner. Not convinced we've seen it yet.
I agree. All right. Do buy on Garrett Wilson and Christian Kirk both. Both of these guys are absolutely unbelievable. Well, you know what? Why not just throw Drake London in there while you're at it? All three of these guys, Mike has his guys that he really likes. Dubai, Garrett Wilson, Christian Kirk, and Drake London. Liz, do you have anybody you want to add to this? Do you, in fact, have this sheet in front of you by any chance?
She doesn't, but Liz.
I do have the sheet in front of me.
Oh, look at that. She's so freaking prepared.
So prepared.
Liz, why don't you give us one?
Stand pat on Kyle Pitts. Mike and I agree. He's got a great matchup next week, and we know that he can, to quote Mike Clay, break the game.
Do buy into Damian Pierce, Mike says. We talked about how he saw more and more snaps. As we talked about, there's still not great passing game utilization, but it was awesome to see Damian Pierce take over as the lead back for the Houston Texans.
Liz, I'm going to leave the next one for you. So I'm going to do don't burn your fab on Nelson Aguilar. It is not worth it. I understand he had a 100-yard game and a touchdown. No, don't do it. He is not a week three waiver ad, but there is somebody that is a wide receiver that you sort of like, Liz, that might be a week three waiver ad.
Yes, do add Sterling Shepard. He is not a sexy pick, but he has a nice high floor, and he will draw a ton of volume. We like that in PPR friendly formats.
All right. And last one here, Field. We obviously saw Trey Lance go down. Is Jimmy Garoppolo somebody that you should be adding, or would that be a rookie mistake to make in fantasy?
I think that would be a rookie mistake to be adding Jimmy Garoppolo right now. Again, there are going to be some quarterback decisions to make for those that roster Trey Lance, for those that are concerned about Tom Brady, for those that are concerned about Matthew Stafford or Joe Burrow, and all the quarterbacks.
Russell Wilson?
Fair enough. That being said, I think there are higher ceiling options to Jimmy Garoppolo. We've seen it for a long time. Solid player and helped them again to a win today. But there are players that I do believe offer much more upside.
Agreed. I am with you there.
All right. Checking back in with the Sunday night football game, Liz, and your Chicago Bears. Took on the Green Bay Packers. And they tried so hard. Oh,
they did.
They did. They really did. And there are a couple players that we're going to talk about, and a few of them that actually really did play really well. But let's start with the Packers, because from the fantasy perspective, there was just a little bit more fun there to be able to talk. I hate to say the word fun. I'm so sorry to say that. But there's just more meat on the bone to be able to talk about. So,
well, can we actually start with Kyle Soppy? Because I owe him some cereal.
Oh, shoot. You do, don't you? Oh, and it's one of those big fun pack ones, isn't it?
Sure. Oh, I mean, I'm good for it. I'm good for it. There's going to be like, remember when Jalen Ramsey brought the Brinks truck to camp? I'm going to have to like bring a Brinks truck full of Cheerios and Life and Golden Grahams and drop them on Sir Soppy's front door.
Oh, that's tough. That is tough, but I appreciate you being able to deliver on your word. From that perspective, that means a lot.
Aloza always pays her debts.
Oh, wow. I love that. I love that.
There you go.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you look at these Packers running backs, I don't even know where to start, because both of them got a ton of volume. And while A.J. Dillon, you love the amount of work that he got, he didn't have the same kind of yardage or usage in the passing game, or also usage in that painted area called the end zone that Aaron Jones had, Liz. I mean, what the heck are you doing with these guys?
I think this is going to be a battle every week. I think they're both going to be starts. I mean, you and I talked on the pod on Wednesday about how we had them really closely ranked, right? We had Aaron Jones a little bit ahead because of the data that came before, but Dillon was nipping at his heels. And here's the fun fact about LaFleur. We shouldn't be so surprised, because even when Jamal Williams was a part of the Green Bay Packers way back when he and Aaron Jones were both healthy, they had a 60-40 snap share in the favor of Jones. So maybe now it's a 55-45. You know, split
sure.
between these two. There are some weeks that are going to be Dillon weeks. There are some weeks that are going to be Jones weeks. Jones clearly did not like being left out of the conversation last week. There was an adjustment. He goes off for 132 rushing yards and a score, rips off a gorgeous, as much as it pains me to say, 36-yard run. And as a receiver, he converts on all three of his looks for 38 and another touchdown. Dillon did also, it's worth mentioning, see three targets. He just only converted on one for 6 yards and didn't find the end zone, whether it be on the ground or through the air. But again, the opportunities were there. You have to start both of these running backs.
I think that's where we're at. Like the usage that they're both going to get. If you tell me I have a running back that's going to get 18 to 20 touches every single week, you got to start them. You have to. And there are going to be ups and downs, but you're going to have to live with it. It's just a part of it.
Yep.
From that standpoint, we've had some ups and downs from Aaron Rodgers in order to be able to start at least with week one. But here it sort of looked like we saw a little bit more of the older Aaron Rodgers of the past. 19 for 25, really efficient. 234 yards, 2 touchdowns. He looked pretty good. Is he back, Liz? Is that the right term?
I mean, it's still interesting that these pass catchers are coming into their own, mm-hmm. right? Like, yes, Alan Lazard scored the touchdown, right? But 2 catches? That's not the kind of volume. I'm not going to chase touchdowns. That's not smart fantasy footballing. He only saw 3 looks. In fact, the entire receiving core basically saw three looks other than Sammy Watkins, who saw a whopping four. He managed 93 yards on three receptions because he broke off a 55-yard long play. But, I mean, maybe, you know, between Sammy Watkins' aliens and Aaron Rodgers' ayahuasca, the two are vibing in a way we didn't anticipate. But, again, that's not something I'm going to count on. From a fantasy perspective in terms of the quarterback position, though, Aaron Rodgers, barely a top 12 producer.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't feel like...
In fact, I think he was a QB 14, and we've got two Monday night games still to go. So you and I had him, I think, as QB 13. I'm not quite sure Aaron Rodgers is giving you the fantasy lift you want if you waited on him expecting top 10 numbers week in and week out.
Well, and this is the thing, right? 19 for 25. He had a really efficient game, but he was better from an NFL perspective managing this game and utilizing his weapons than he was for us for fantasy. 234 and two touchdowns is just not. There are so many quarterbacks that can do that, whether or not they're utilizing their legs or they're doing it through the air. So it's going to be tough for me until I feel like one of these wide receivers really establishes themselves. And in watching this game, you know, I don't feel any stronger about the Alan Lazard, Sammy Watkins, Romeo Doubs conversation. Do you?
No, I don't. And next week, the Packers play the Buccaneers. Tom Brady is angry. We know what that narrative tends to bring, right?
Yep.
We saw him throwing hissy fits, you know, as earned as they may be on the sideline today. And that's an interesting, that's a tough defense. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have to put it in the air next week. So again, it'll be another learning curve. I think what you can take away though, is if you're in a two quarterback league, he's going to be a top 15 play, right? Like you can't not bet on him being a low end quarterback one, high end quarterback two in that range. And I think you're also going to have to flex Alan Lazard and you're going to have to start both of those running backs, whether they are RB2s or RB3s, depending on who and where you drafted each one of them, respectively.
Yeah, I think you're right from that spot. If you are in a situation where A.J. Dillon is your RB3 or even RB4, I think that's where you start. Yeah, you're in a really good spot where you start looking at the depth that you have and maybe can you upgrade somewhere else, or are you in a spot where, you know, what is it that you need to do? Because he's, at, you know, like we talked about, this kind of volume is for real, and I don't think it's going to disappear anytime soon. Let's switch over to the Bears and talk about Justin Fields. Because he threw the.
I don't think Justin Fields was horrible. I think he was robbed, frankly, the goal line. It wouldn't have mattered when it came to the final score. I think that ball did clear the plane. Fine, I can complain. But Justin Fields only put the ball in the air 11 times.
You're right. No, please keep going. This is what we want. Like, what do you do with him? Like, 11 times. 11 times, and how many carries did he have? Eight
for 20 yards and a touch. Probably should have been two.
What do you do here?
I mean, you don't. Like, I do think the rushing floor, especially, like, we talked earlier, right? Joe Burrow's problematic. Tom Brady's been problematic. Trey Lance is out. Dak Prescott's sitting. Like, I don't know if Justin Fields is available. And he has this rushing floor, and we've seen him. I mean, if he had gotten that touchdown, we'd be having a different conversation from a fantasy perspective,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So we know we can count on that. The problem is all the people who drafted, and I said this and got a lot of heat on Wednesday, Darnell Mooney and Cole Kmet, there's only 11 pass attempts. Darnell Mooney's not drawing all 11 of them. He only saw two of them. He ended with one catch for negative yardage. Gross. Cole Kmet, worst hands in the NFL. They can't catch a damn ball. One target, another goose egg. Ryan Griffin has better hands than Cole Kmet. This is a problem, Daniel Dapp.
Yeah, I feel like I'm at a spot where I don't really know what to do. If I've drafted Darnell Mooney, I'm hoping that I've got someone else in my flex spot. Because I likely didn't draft him as my wide receiver two. You know, he's a wide receiver three or a flex guy.
He's getting dropped for Sterling Shepard. Peace and deuces.
Okay, you're good dropping Darnell Mooney. Cole Kmet, tight end's not a super deep position. Are you holding on to Cole Kmet there? There's still upside. He's still a safety valve.
There's still upside. I get that there's upside. I'm also not seeing, it's not like Cole Kmet came in with incredible metrics or the ability to like convert regularly,
yeah.
right? Like he's always been kind of like, well, if he had the opportunities and if he takes the leap and if, asterisk, 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 and we were just assuming that the volume would be enough to carry him because volume is always king in fantasy, and yet he's not getting the volume and he doesn't seem to be enough of a playmaker to make up for the lack of volume. So yeah, I'm worried when Evan Ingram produces top 10 fantasy numbers and is running tons of routes and converting on all of his looks and Cole Kmet is oopsieing it every single week. Now the Bears do host the Texans next week. I mean, that's just going to be an ugly game,
yeah.
right? Like, who wants to watch that game?
Not me. Not me.
No.
It's one of those games you're probably not going to see a lot of on Red Zone, it feels like, you know?
Right. You're right. But you know what? That is a shame because David Montgomery is carrying this team. And we need to give David Montgomery massive snaps, not just for his 120-some yards today, where he was fighting and breaking off chunk gains and really carrying this offense, but for the evolution in his skill set since he was drafted. This is no longer David Montgomery hitting a wall up the middle. He has actually improved, which is not something you often see out of this running back position.
Yeah, it sort of feels like David Montgomery's ceiling is sort of capped by what this offense can be, because if they're going to be in a spot where they can't utilize him a little bit more, you know, I feel like I love David Montgomery, and he's somebody, if you drafted him as an RB2, when you look at this, like, he crushed it. In fact, the entire running game crushed it. Khalil Herbert was fantastic, uber efficient. Justin Fields, not as efficient, but as a running back, I feel like that's different. When you have rushes, it's not always the same. So, but like these two running backs were unbelievable. Over 150 yards on the ground. They both averaged over 8 yards per carry. They were great. I don't know how often you're going to be in a spot where David Montgomery is going to be able to be this efficient, because I love him, but like 8 yards per carry is not sustainable. Where he's going to be this efficient, where he's going to have to be able to be utilized more because this.
But he is being. I mean, you just said that if you have a running back 2 or 3 who's touching the ball 15 to 18 times, ooh, 15 to 20 times a game.
All right, you caught me. All
then
right.
You're going to start him.
You're right, Liz. See, this is why I appreciate you for keeping me honest. You're right. I did just say that. David Montgomery totally falls into that category. You're right. I take back what I said.
You can't not start him.
No, you're right.
Like, he could rip off an 8-yard run. He's proven within his skill set that he has that as a possibility. And last week, even in the monsoon, he had 20 carries. Now, I mean, there were like light showers, but it was mostly just like my former ancestors crying. Not my former ancestors, my ancestors who have passed on, I should say, crying down at the Bears. But he still touched the ball 17 times. Like, you clear 15 touches, you're going to start for me unless I really crushed my draft and I'm in an 18 league.
Yeah. David Montgomery is the only startable fantasy asset on the Chicago Bears right now. True or false? That hurts. I really wanted Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney to be something more. And like, I love Justin Fields. I didn't expect him to be someone that you would be totally starting on a weekly basis, but I was hoping to be able to see a little bit more in this offense. Has struggled outside of the running game. The running game just crushes it and continues to crush it. Hopefully that continues and we get to see the passing game take another step here.
I mean, not for nothing, Justin Fields currently, with 2 Monday night games yet to be played, is just behind Russell Wilson and Tom Brady in total fantasy points for the week. So if that's a reflection of the quarterback position right now, if it's good or bad, but there you go.
Yeah, I'm going to say indifferent. I'm going to say indifferent on that one.
Okay.
So, all right, that's going to do it. Liz, thanks for hanging out with us. I love being able to do the show with you. It's a ton of fun, especially this last part, because this is an audio exclusive part of the podcast. This isn't a part of the video show that we do. So with that being said, it's just like a lot of fun to be able to dive in a little bit deeper from that. So always fun to be able to do this with you.
Thank you, Daniel. I like that we get to be exclusive at the end of the show.
Me too.
Thanks for listening this far.
Heck yeah. Thank you for hanging out with us. We'll be back on Tuesday. Me, Field, and Stefania will be breaking down all the injuries that you need to know heading into waiver wires. We will go into the waiver wire with our own Eric Moody to break everything down, let you know who you need to be picking up to make sure you are set for your week three matchups. For Liz, I am Daniel. I was thinking about how I wanted to end this, and I was going to say, don't forget to love each other and do like a whole Critical Role thing, and I just like blew it because I forgot which one of us was Daniel and Liz. It happens. No big deal.
Well, love each other, and for Liz and Daniel, have a good night. Who's that? Who's that squirrel? Who's that squirrel? It's no secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail You, a Lions fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you. He's Daniel Dopp. Who's that? Who's that squirrel? Who's that?